Good morning, ladies. It's so good to see you all, and I trust you've had a good week so far. Last time I spoke was via, you were having your socials, so we just did the recording. This, you get the full effect this morning, so, but I get the full effect of having you all in the room, which is wonderful. This morning, we are going to look at the Psalms of Ascent, and they are in total numbers 120, Psalm 120 through 134, and they form part of Book 5 of the Psalter. So what I want to do this morning is give some background information on this entire group of psalms, discuss the major themes and their role in the Psalter, and then close our time with a closer examination of the middle psalm, which is number 127. I really felt like it was important that we treat the Psalms of Ascent as a whole, because as I told the ladies this morning, I feel like in some ways, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts in this instance. And so I want you to, even though we're focusing on 127, I want you to have a sense of what they are in their entirety, and then we'll focus on what makes Psalm 127 wonderful. So before beginning, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, I can think of no better song than the one that we sang this morning. Blessed be your name on the road that is marked with suffering, that may be marked with pain, but is also marked with great joy. And Lord, we are pilgrims, and you are our purpose and our final destination. And Lord, we thank you so much for these psalms that encourage us, guide us, and keep us faithful to you, Lord, as we walk out our lives. So please bless us this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to teach us, to guide us. And Lord, may the meditations of our heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So some of you that know me know I travel a lot for work. Many of you also know that or have experienced for yourselves that airline service has been a bit spotty post-COVID. For this reason, I have come to embrace road trips whenever they are possible. I also appreciate being able to pack the 4 hairbrushes that it takes for me to get this fluffy in the mornings. So what's not to love about a good road trip? You get to pack excessively. You're out on the open road or a congested I-95, which will be me Sunday as I head to Washington, D.C., with the wind in your hair, the sun on your face. And what is the one other thing that is often romanticized about road trips? A fantastic playlist. No road trip is complete without tunes and good ones. In fact, there are playlists on Apple and Spotify that indicate what type of road trip you might be on. Is it a summertime? Are you going to visit family? Is it a Christmas road trip? You name it, and they've got a playlist for that. I Googled top Spotify playlist, which, by the way, I don't actually have Spotify because I refuse to pay for it, but my college-age daughter can somehow afford it. And these were listed as among the best of all time. Majestic Casual, Sad Indie, and Chilled Cow. Compelling. Obviously, these were put together by young people for young people, and the over 50 crowd like me need not apply. Apple, on the other hand, must skew older in the demo, as their playlist titles I could understand. Happy Songs, Baby Sleep, Old Songs Throwback, and Christmas Songs, Who Doesn't Love Burl Ives, which was their number one playlist. So trips and songs go together, right? Some of my fondest memories of time spent with my children, I have 2 of them, and probably some of my most harrowing memories are driving to the Keys with my children on multiple occasions. In our family, the driver picks the music, and my son's affinity for Metallica in the wee hours of the morning because he needs to stay awake has been an unforgettable experience. On the other hand, when everybody is singing the same song, not whining, fully caffeinated and sugared up, and we are actually almost there, there's nothing better. The anticipation of arrival, the lure of the destination, the music in the background that reflects our mood and often our destination. How much Jimmy Buffett can you listen to en route to Alamorada? A lot. It is a lot. Excitement, joy, the experience of being together, going somewhere you long to go and doing it together, there's nothing better for this mom. And I bet the same could be said for you. But what if the destination really mattered? Something like God's actual presence. And what if it weren't just your family going, but your entire community, your country? In fact, the folks going were all God's people. And what if the journey was hard, had dangers and pitfalls along the way, but you were together? You had clear guidance for how to pick your route, how to arrive there safely. All the directions and everything you needed for the journey was provided. You had what you needed. And as you journeyed together, you had the penultimate playlist accompanying, guiding, and encouraging you. That playlist is the Psalms of Ascent. The 15 songs that you would sing over and over with your friends, family, and community as you literally journeyed up to Jerusalem to physically be in God's dwelling place, the temple. I can think of no better metaphor for these Psalms than that, but that is what they are. They are the frame, the background, the GPS, the directions, the Google Maps. The Psalms of Ascent celebrate the journey whose actual destination is God Himself. And if you tune out everything I say today, remember that these Psalms celebrate the journey whose destination is God Himself. Chilled cow notwithstanding, what better playlist could we ever want than this one? So let's spend a few minutes asking the question, how did this playlist come to be, and what purpose does it serve? So there's a little debate on when they were all put together and when they were all composed, so I'm just going to kind of keep it high level there. So David's reign, King David's reign, was from 1000 to 962 BC. The time of the Babylonian captivity was 586 BC. Remember, and the temple was wiped out, and the Israelites were taken captive for 70 years before they were able to come back to Jerusalem and start building the temple. Okay, so by the time all that had happened, these psalms were arranged and as they are now. So the thought is that they may have been done prior to that time and used during the exile, but they may have been codified a little bit later. But these songs became part of the Hebrew worship during the three main feasts. Remember, everybody would have to journey up to Jerusalem for three main feasts: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. It's very fitting that we're studying the Psalms of Ascent at this time during our calendar year, as they were used prominently during the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, which celebrated the harvest and everything good. So really analogous to our Thanksgiving. As I noted before, there are 15 Psalms that comprise this unit. The first grouping of seven has two Davidic, that means authored by David, two Davidic Psalms followed by five anonymous ones. Then the hinge or middle psalm, which is 127, the one we're studying today. And then the second set of seven is comprised of two more Davidic psalms, followed by five more anonymous. Many of you probably already appreciate that seven was considered a holy or complete number by the ancient Israelites. So was the number 15, as it corresponds to the shortened form of Jehovah or Yah, which is the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Yah is the fifth letter, Ha is the 10th, and together they are 15. So 15th letter. Going further with our 15 theme, the major feast took place on the 15th day of the month. In addition, there were 15 steps in the temple leading from the lower court to the upper court, that would have been the court of men, where the Levitical musicians would have been singing the songs of ascent during evening services on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it's important to remember that for Jews, night precedes day as the beginning of a new day. So they would have begun to worship on the evening of what we would consider like the 14th, and then carry that into the actual 15th day of the month. They would have finished singing Psalm 134 as the sun was rising. So I encourage you to read that. Such a beautiful one. It was the Merivite Levites who sang these psalms in the temple. The cantor sang the first part of each verse, and the choir replied with the second part. It's called responsory singing. It was common all over the ancient Near East. So in essence, they had a choir just like we do. Reflecting upon the symbolism and significance of the number 15 in these psalms, let's turn our attention for a few minutes and think about what they said to the Israelites in whose time they were composed and comprised and used during worship, and what they have to say to us now as God's people living on this side of the cross. As I said in my opening, these psalms formed the playlist for the Israelites as they journeyed up to Jerusalem to worship God in his dwelling, the temple. And as I also indicated, they were used during the worship as well. So they were songs composed for people on a journey who had a specific destination and goal in mind. They were pilgrims, and sometimes they're referred to as the pilgrim songs, the gradual psalms, the psalms of ascent. All of those words are interchangeable and kind of come from the Hebrew. But I think it's really important that we make a distinction between pilgrims and nomads. We are pilgrims because pilgrims have a destination and a journey, as did the ancient Israelites. The Near East was full of nomads. And what did nomads do? Nomads, they move around to get what they need, right? So they gotta get some more water, and so they go over this way, and then they go that way because they need fresh pasture for their flocks. Okay, so they wandered around looking for provision. We have our provision, so we are pilgrims on a journey. We have a purpose, the Lord has a plan, and he has given us clear and ample provision and guidance. We have everything we need for our journey that will ultimately bring us face to face with him. The question before us always is and always will be, are we willing to choose his route and his way? But back to the Psalms. Thematically, one commentator pointed out that in total, the Israelites would have heard in these psalms the ancient Aaronic Aaron, Moses' brother Aaron, was the first sort of Levite priest, and in Numbers 6, verses 24 through 27, he pronounces this blessing on the people of Israel. And listen for the verbs in this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And thematically, the Psalms of Ascent follow that blessing. They begin in a point of exile. They are exiles from the land, the promised land, exiled from God's presence. And these Psalms end with a joyful recounting of the blessings of being in God's presence. These Psalms are about restoration and reconciliation, the renewal of the covenant, and in fact, the renewal of all things. They are about journeying upward and onward toward a life lived fully and consciously in God's glorious presence. To close out this section, I'd like to read you a brief phrase or sentence summarizing each of these psalms so that you can hear the progression from exile to joy in God's presence. So, beginning with Psalm 120. This is the major theme, a short phrase or statement that indicates the major theme of each of these psalms. So beginning with Psalm 120, distress in exile and living under oppression. 121, God is our help and to whom we lift our eyes. 122, homesickness for Jerusalem and a prayer for peace. In Psalm 124, gratitude to God for safekeeping from Judah's enemies. 125, God protects Jerusalem and will not allow her enemies to prevail. 126, praise God in expectation of freedom from captivity. 127, mercy, God's mercy and power exceed man's striving, as well as an indication of David's line being continued. 128 is fearful reverence and worship of the Lord brings blessing. Psalm 129, God's triumph over personal affliction and vindication of our enemies. 30, God hears our cries of distress. 31, maturity in our faith walk and a call for Israel to keep her faith in God for now and forever. 132, reminding God of his promise to give one of David's children reign as king. 133, unity of the brethren and communal peace in God's kingdom. 134, praise God and affectionately bless his goodness and blessings. So we go from exile to praise in the fullness of God's presence. And you can hear it's a little bit winding. Bad things happen, and that then God is always there. And it's that continued. I so think of Eugene Peterson wrote a famous book about the Psalms of Ascent called A Long Obedience in One Direction. And this, in fact, is that picture, a long obedience through thick and thin in one direction toward God's presence. Okay, so with that, I'm going to pick up and let's look at Psalm 127 in a bit more detail. And I am going to read it. It's only five verses if you'd like to turn in your books. And I'm sorry, I don't know what page it's on. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Ladies, at its most literal level, this psalm establishes what we have heard echoed in other psalms during our study. Yahweh, the Lord, is the one who provides and protects his people. The Lord provides safety, security, and all the provisions humans need to survive. The Lord recognizes the vulnerability of his people, physically and spiritually, so he protects their homes, he protects their communities. Our efforts at securing our homes, building our cities, these things, they ultimately hinge on God's goodness, not our efforts. In the second verse, Solomon, who was a very big fan of work, might I just throw that out there if you've read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. So he's not saying to sit down. I mean, he's all about work. In the second verse, Solomon notes that God's provision extends even to those times when we are resting and cannot provide for ourselves. The complete Jewish Bible renders verse 2 this way, and I love this. In vain do you get up early and put off going to bed, working hard to earn a living, for he provides for his beloved even when they sleep. What a gracious picture of God providing, knowing that we need rest, and he is still providing. He is always and continuously providing for his people. In vain, we get up early and work hard late, and quite literally, we are incapable of working all the time. Our Heavenly Father is aware of this fact and so provides for us even when we are asleep. The psalm then transitions to another blessing from the Lord, and that is the gift of children. I think it's easy to say that in this room of women, we probably have a lot of mothers, and we would all testify that children are a gift. I never really thought of mine as arrows in the hand of a warrior, but given all of the wars that went on in ancient Israel, I can see how Solomon came up with that simile. But that is just a surface exposition of those five verses. Let's dive deeper, because in no surprise to many of you, as we've learned throughout our study of the book of Psalms, and like most poetry, the meaning functions on very multiple levels. And when you look at the Hebrew, it's more clear to see. So, for example, the term house, unless the Lord builds a house. For example, house can refer to a home where a family dwells. It can also refer to the temple where Yahweh dwells, and it can also refer to a line of descent. In this psalm, Solomon is responding to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 29. In this passage, the Lord speaks to David through the prophet Nathan, and this is the big Davidic covenant. This is Nathan the prophet speaking the word of the Lord to King David. I'm going to read a little bit of this to you in case you haven't read it since we've begun our study of Psalms, because it resonates through so much of the Psalter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you would be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. This passage is incredibly important to the entire book of Psalms, as these songs are replete with references to the promises that the Lord makes here to David. Echoes of the promise are part of the undercurrent of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, i.e. the dynasty, it will not be built. Unless the Lord protects the city, his own house, the temple, the holy city, Jerusalem, it will not be protected. The Israelites would have heard the Davidic covenant from what we just read in 2 Samuel as part of their understanding of an application of Psalm 127. So they would have both applied it individually to their homes, but then they would have seen the broader implications for their nation. In the second part of Psalm 127, the emphasis is on children, or sons as the Hebrew renders it. Yahweh gives sons as a lasting heritage and a reward, and it is this line of descendants who will not succumb to the serpent, Genesis 3. It is these people, God's people who trust in the Lord Jesus, who are, quote, weaponized against the seed of the serpent, as one commentator put it. Another commentator noted, the Davidic line, the dynastic succession of kings that would culminate in Jesus, depended upon male heirs to the throne. What was true of the nation's monarchy was true of all the nation's families. In the same way that the line of kings descending from David depended upon male heirs, in Israel's patriarchal culture, the family's inheritance passed to the oldest son. These are the concepts that inform the statement that Yahweh gives sons as an inheritance and reward of the fruit of the womb. Like so many other passages we have studied this year, this psalm tells or refers to a bigger story, one that is much, much larger than the five verses we have here. It points to a son, a king, the one greater than David, whose throne would be established forever, and through whom Almighty God would restore all things to himself. The Psalms of Ascent are ultimately about him, the Lord Jesus. For those who are lost, exiled, or captive, he would come and save them. And one day, because of his righteousness, they would be reconciled to their original place in full joyful fellowship with God. May we, like the Israelites, use these songs to drive, guide, and encourage us as we journey toward him. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we're so thankful for your word. And Lord, I just pray for all of us, Father, that we would have a heart of obedience. Lord, as we walk through all the seasons of our lives, Lord, that we would obey and we would be so conscious of coming, drawing ever and ever closer to your presence. Lord, give us the gift of obedience. Give us the gift of perseverance. And Lord, keep our eyes fixed on the bigger story, the story that is greater than ourselves, the story that ends in perfection with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.